And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakachi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello Blues and welcome back to this edition of the Grand Old Team podcast. In this podcast, I am joined by the one and only Everton legend, Mr. Kevin Campbell. Some of you will have heard from Kevin quite a bit. He seems to interact with Evertonians quite a lot. We've actually had him on Grand Old Team TV before. So what I wanted to do with these questions is try and mix them up a bit and not ask him stuff that he's been asked loads of times by Evertonians. I mean, it's only natural. It's what happens. You know, I have covered, don't get me wrong, I have covered the goal in the derby, obviously, with him. But I wanted to find out some other things. I wanted to find out a bit more about Kevin Campbell. I only had 20 minutes with him, but that was enough time to have a really good chat. And, you know, I let him know on behalf of all Evertonians, you know, that, you know, I don't always like to kind of talk for Evertonians or attempt to do that, because Evertonians are a diverse bunch. And, you know, nobody can talk for all Evertonians. However, the point is, what I'm trying to say is I wanted to let him know that we all adore him. And I did that without spooking him too much. And then asked him lots of other questions. Took some questions from Instagram as well. And had a really good chat with him. So, as always, sit back, put the kettle on, grab a beer, whatever it is you want to do. And listen to this podcast with Mr. Kevin Campbell. Hi, Kev.
Hi, Adam. You all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Sorry, my phone went like bloody clappers there.
Don't apologise. Thank you for doing this, Kev.
It's all right.
How's your day going?
It's been hectic,
okay,
to say the least.
Okay, what's it involved? You said you're in the studio. You've been doing anything exciting?
I've just been done Premier League TV. That was all.
So. Okay. It sounds a little bit more exciting than you make it out, Premier League TV. I assume you were talking about Everton?
Not necessarily, but it was more general. Okay. Premier League and obviously that other lot, beating City and stuff like that. So quickly, we soon got it round to Everton and Arsenal. Don't worry about that.
good stuff. So we've got 20 minutes with you, Kev. So again, you know, thank you for coming onto the podcast.
It's
great when former players give us a bit of time to have a conversation. I know you do a lot of things with Fansite, so that's fantastic. So let's start with a nice, easy one then, Kev. What music normally makes your Spotify playlist?
Well, I don't use Spotify, but I have a Funky Friday on, which is the 80s soul.
Okay.
Which is what I like. I like reggae as well. So that probably 80s soul and reggae.
Did you used to listen to that before a game, or would you listen to something that maybe was a little bit more intense to get you going?
It all depended what my mood was. It depended what type of game it was as well.
Right.
So the 80s soul and the reggae has just got a nice frequency to it. So it's got a nice feel to it. So that you could listen to that before any game mostly.
Yeah, yeah. And back in the day, what were you doing? Were you listening on a Walkman or what? What was the technology when you were playing late 90s?
It was probably a Walkman.
Yeah. Yeah,
I had a Walkman, CD players. This man was just coming out.
That's right. The younger guys amongst us. I mean, I'm approaching my 30s, so I had a Walkman too. Obviously, a little bit younger than you, Kev. But the younger lads that are listening and ladies that are listening won't remember these days. You know, we used to have you carry your CDs or your tapes around with you.
Yes, they won't know that.
it's a little bit archaic now. And so, Kev, like any good I won't say a journalist, but anybody doing this kind of thing. I've been watching some clips of you today on YouTube. You've actually done some stuff for Grand Old Team before, but I couldn't attend, so we just sent our cameraman Brendan. It was the kit launch. You know the
yes, the 125 year
That is right, Kev. So I was watching some of that, and then I stumbled across a video of you on George Galloway's show. And you were doing an interview about something that sounds so beautiful and so a really good initiative, and that's the Bring Hope Foundation. So what's the deal with that, Kev?
Well, we're basically just doing humanitarian work and, you know, helping people who really people have turned their back on, you know, that type of thing. Going out, we've been out to Iraq. I've been to Iraq probably four times. I've been to Lesotho twice in Africa. And really what the Bring Hope do, they give medicine, they give all sorts of knife, forks, clothing, medicines, you name it. But there's also a sport part of it, which obviously I'm involved with, which is helping the kids get involved in football. You know, they all love football. They're football crazy. And, you know, it's just a nice feel to it when you go over. Some of these kids don't have enough shoes, but they've got a ball and they're kicking the ball around. So it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you were talking about it with George, and you mentioned how some of the kids over there and some of the adults knew who you were and remembered your time playing for Everton, which just shows you how, like, the Premier League just transcends across continents, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the Premier League is absolutely huge. And obviously with technology, you know, it's amazing what these people actually get into. Mm. You know, they check on the clubs and they watch clips and all that kind of thing. So it's pretty interesting, you know, how the reach of the Premier League and the clubs that they have globally now.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed your boy got a run out for Stoke on Saturday. Tyrese, he's at Stoke, isn't he?
Yes.
I noticed he came on against Tottenham. So you must be pretty proud as a father, Kev.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, he's made his home debut on Saturday. He made his debut against Leicester probably 4 weeks previous. And he's a striker. He's very good. He's hungry. And, you know, as a dad, I'm just so proud of him. And as I'm with both of my boys, you know, I'm so proud. But obviously he's stuck at it. And, you know, he's took a hard decision to leave Manchester City to go to Stoke because he wants to make it. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding now. He's starting to break through, hopefully.
Good on him. Well, you know, we all wish him the best of luck. And you never know in the future, Kev, it might be the second line in the Campbells to come and play up front for Everton. Who knows what'll happen, eh?
Well, you just never know. You just never know.
So, okay, on to Everton then, Kev. So you are no stranger to the fact, and I've heard you speak about this before, that you're very aware that as Evertonians, we, to be frank, you know, we adore you. The work that you did when you came in at Everton, you know, to keep us in the league that season was terrific. Alan EFC on Instagram was asking us earlier if you ever wish that you maybe have joined Everton a little bit earlier.
No, not really. I think it was the timing was right, you know, for that time. I'm not too sure Everton actually... When I was at Arsenal, there was no way that was going to happen. And then I went to Nottingham Forest. So... I just like the way the story's panned out. I just think it kind of worked out for us, for both sides. So I don't really wish I joined earlier. I'm just pleased I did join at that time that we could do the business together.
Right. Yeah. No. I was watching again another interview with you, and you were talking about when you first arrived at the club. But got me thinking. You know, what can you remember much about your first day on the job at Everton at Belfield?
Yeah, of course I do. I remember the first day. You know, coming in, when you're a new player, a lot of players knew who I was. But, you know, I'd been out of the league for most of that season. So, you know, I remember looking at, there was good young players there. And there was, you know, there was players I'd played against quite a bit, you know, Waggy and Craig Short. Dave Unsworth I'd played against, and you know, there was Davey Weir was there. There was a lot of good players. Hutch was there, and John Collins was there. Olivier Decor, who I didn't know, but I quickly got to know. Good array, really good array of footballers there. So what I quickly realised in training, and obviously under Walter Smith and Archie Knox was the coach, that, you know, I thought Everton were in a false position. They just lacked a bit of experience up front.
Yeah, because when you came in, wasn't it Jefferson Karamatri leading the line for Everton?
Yeah, they were playing at the time. I think Ibrahima Bakayoko obviously was there, but I'm not sure what really was happening with that scenario. But it needed, obviously, he'd just come and he didn't have experience. So what it needed was experience. So I gladfully came in and brought experience to the party.
Yeah, and like I always remember, you seem to just have this natural kind of relationship with Francis Jeffers. What do you remember about Jeffers, and do you feel a little bit like, because obviously he went off to Arsenal, which you'll be well really familiar with, and do you ever feel a little bit like when you look back at Jeffers' career, you think, oh, you know, he could have achieved so much more without, you know, sounding a bit harsh?
No, we don't want to sound too patronising, but
no.
Look. What I noticed about Franny was his movement. He had excellent movement for a young lad. He was a natural mover, which was great. And he kind of complimented me because luckily when Ian Wright joined Arsenal, my game changed. I had to change into more of a target man to be an all-rounder. So I knew exactly what, as soon as I saw Franny, I knew exactly what he needed. And that's why it kind of, we were like telepathic at times. But, you know, when Everton did need money when they're selling Franny. But I remember saying to Franny, you know, don't, if you go in and you're not going to start, because, you know, look at the players they've got, you know, make sure you get, come back and learn your trade. Get 2 years back at Everton with us and with me and you learn your trade. But obviously, that didn't quite materialise.
Did you stay in contact with him after he left?
No, not really. Because I had Everton to worry about.
Yeah.
Didn't have Franny Jeffers to worry about then.
No. And then this question has been asked to you probably many times, Kev, but you know the Anfield derby, obviously, we all know that Everton probably should have gone there and won in the time since then, but you are the last fella to score at Anfield and win the game for Everton. So, but what can you remember about that day in particular?
Well, I remember it was I remember going there with a real sense of purpose. You know, we'd practiced and we'd seen them play, we'd done the video study, and you know, we looked around our dressing room and we had some real good experienced players in our team. So, you know, we'd done all the work, so we were going there to take them on. And, you know, obviously the Evertonians were there in full force, and it was a noisy, obviously, atmosphere. But what struck us about the game was, you know, we scored so early.
Mm.
You know, that was the thing. We got the goal, and obviously there ended up, you know, I don't want to rattle on too much, but for me, once I scored, it was a great reverse pass back into me, and I hit it, and the ball hit the net. The defining moment for me was hearing the Evertonians at that far end in the Anfield Road, but seeing Evertonians in the cup.
Yeah,
that'll go with me to my grave. Honestly, seeing the Evertonians going mad in the cup. And I love saying that. Seeing them go crazy in the cup was brilliant.
Yeah, it'd be terrific if we could replicate that again. But sadly,
we're going to need to.
Yes, we are most definitely. I mean, we've do a podcast quite frequently, Kev. You know, and we've spoken at length on the podcast with regards to the issues that Everton have had at Anfield. So we won't go into that. However, one thing I just want to ask is, you know, like the build up as a player towards the Merseyside derby, and then I see the players jump on a bus and they go from Goodison to Anfield. Was that still the same routine then, or did you just go directly to Anfield?
No, we go on a bus.
Yeah,
we meet up. And we go on the bus, go as a team, and we get across there, and you know, we go to battle, because that's the way we saw it. You know, I mean, we had captains in our team. We had Richard Gough, we had Abel Xavier, we had Don Hutchinson, we had Scott Gemmell was there. We had some real good pros there. Nick Barmby was playing, although that's a bit of a contentious one at times, but. You know, Nick Barmby was a damn good player, and we really fancied our chances that day. Well, we had some, as I say, we had some good young players as well. Michael Ball, Franny Jeffers, all those guys. You know, we really fancied our chances going into that game.
Yeah, you know, it's the last happy memory we've all got at Anfield, really. So. You know, to look back on it now, it's just incredible that the fact that Everton haven't managed to go there and replicate that since. You know, it really is. But, you know, moving on a little bit forward into your Everton career, then another question I wanted to ask, because I don't hear too much about him, but was a player called Thomas Graveson.
Yeah.
Have you got any stories regarding Tommy? And is he as off the wall, shall we say, as sometimes he was portrayed, you know, in and amongst the squad?
Yeah, Tommy was a great character. He was mad as a box of frogs, he was. I remember one summer going, we've come out of the pre-season and he bought himself these lovely cars, you know. He bought himself a F50 pickup truck. And he had a Porsche and another car. So he was coming in all the best cars. And then about 6 months later, we come in and there's a banged up Nissan Micra in the car park. So we said, I asked the kit man, you know, Jimmy Martin, whose is that? He said, you won't believe this. And I said, come on, try me. He says, Thomas Graveson sold all his cars, and that's his car. And for 6 months, Tommy Graveson was rolling around Liverpool in a green Nissan Micra. but he loved it. He absolutely loved it. He did. So that just shows you what type of character he was. It didn't matter to him what he was driving. He just had a laugh.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of fella that you know would have been just good to have around. You know, he was a fan's favourite. I mean, it took him a little while to get going at Everton, and then that season, you know, the half season that he had before he went off to Madrid, he was sensational. And, you know, yes. The architect of us, I think, getting fourth that season, you'll agree, one of them anyway. And I think, you know, it's no coincidence that when he left, the form started to drop, didn't it?
Yeah.
So he was actually a better player than I think some people give Graveson credit for. So, you know, moving on, I've realised that I've not got a lot of time with you, Kev, so I just wanted to move on to modern day Everton. Go on, if you can, Kev, in a minute or so, just try and summarise where it's gone wrong for Everton this season.
Well, it's Everton don't have a plan. It's that simple. If Everton had a plan, then they could stick to the plan. The problem is, you know, what is the recruitment policy? What is the club looking to achieve? I don't see what they're actually looking to, what they're looking to do. I just don't see it. So you tend to see that from the recruitment side, but not actually replacing Romelu Lukaku with a striker under Ronald Koeman, that told me everything. You know, that was madness.
It's really integral then, isn't it, that the next manager that comes in, because I think you'll probably think the same as us, that it's highly unlikely that Sam Allardyce will be there next, at the start of next season. So it's how important is it that, and you can come at this from a player perspective, you know, that the next manager, whoever that is, kind of demonstrates a bit of direction and the club shows that it has, you know, a direction that it wants to go in and communicates that with the fan base, and we can all kind of see what it's working towards.
Yeah, I think, look, Everton in their plan, finally getting the money. With money comes expectation. Mascheri came in and everyone's expecting, you know, big things to start happening. And it hasn't taken off as much as we would have liked. at the moment. But what we do know is when you're 12 months down the line and you're behind, you've got to get that plan in place, and you've got to be ruthless and in the pursuit of getting better. That's what has to be the plan. Now, whether it's a 5-year, 10-year plan, Everton have to have that ruthless mentality, and they have to have a manager with that ruthless mentality. And if players have to go who were only brought in last summer, that's what has to happen. It has to be a ruthless pursuit of getting into that top four and challenging. And if Everton don't do that, then there's going to be more problems.
Yeah.
And, I just really want Everton to do that. I really do.
Yeah, no, I agree. It makes a lot of sense. So one final question from Ellis Nordiff on Instagram. There's some kind of similarities in the sense that I know he is actually, you know, plays for Turkey and he's of Turkish descent. But Tucson coming over from Turkey and you know, joining up with the squad in January. Quick thoughts on him as a centre forward as well, Kev?
I like him.
Mm.
I do. I like him. I think he's a good player. I think the service, when he first came, the service he was getting wasn't good. But I think it's a learning process. I think the team are learning about Cenk Tosun. And obviously he scored some goals. He's feeling good about himself. But obviously he needs a lot more. And that comes with being part of a system. You know, knowing what the team is and knowing the plan and being on the front foot, not being on the back foot. I think that will help him as a striker, because people will be a lot closer to him than they were earlier on in his Everton's tenure. So, fingers crossed, he can get more service and he can score a lot of goals. Because like the way, and I think he's got a good ability.
Yeah, no, I do. I've been quite impressed with him, and I think, as you say, if we can get players closer to him and get him that service, I think he could be quite potent. Right, okay, one final question, Kevin, then I'll let you go. Once again, thank you so much for doing this. This is a big, big question, Kevin. It's one that we ask on the Grand Old Team podcast quite frequently. Is pineapple an accepted topping on a pizza, Kev?
No.
No? Controversial.
No,
What's your perfect? What, is it the fact that it's fruit on a pizza? You know, that's kind of the normal objection.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not for me. Pineapple's, you know, not supposed to be on a pizza, but that's my taste. That's my choice.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose tomatoes are fruit, isn't it? You know, when you think about it.
But, when you think about it.
Yeah, when you think about it, it is, but. Not pineapple for me on a pizza. No, thank you.
What would be like the perfect Kev Campbell pizza then?
I don't really eat pizza, but if it was, it would be just normal cheese, tomato. That's about it. I like hot stuff. So plenty of jalapeno peppers, please.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, Kev, look, thank you very much for coming on. I know people can find you on Twitter. Most Evertonians already follow with you on there. And what I do like is the fact that, you know, you're so forthcoming with regards to your interaction on there. And as I said, you know, sometimes as fans, we don't feel like we get that interaction back from footballers. But from you, most definitely, you know, you do that. And that's great.
Well, what I've got to say is thanks, Adam, for having me on Grand Old Team. I always want to interact with the Blues, because the Blues have always been fantastic to me, and I really appreciate all your support over the years. And you know, I really hope and pray Everton make the necessary adjustments and get the club flying, because that will be some place.
Thanks, Kev.
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go. Whoa.